This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Can you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the dealio? Permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live for the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Coming up this hour on the show, we've got John Rothstein who will join us. CBS Sports College Basketball Insider. John will drop on by to discuss day number one of the NCAA tournament and preview day number two. The big story from yesterday, number one, Ja Morant. Triple-double for Murray State of the 12-seed Racers, taking out the number 5-seed Marquette Golden Eagles. And Ja is going to be a top three pick of the NBA draft, likely the number two pick overall behind Zion, and played like it last night. And the thing I love most about Ja Morant is not only does he have this spectacular dunking ability and incredible acrobatic aerials, he also tremendous in dishing the basketball, creating assistant shots for the rest of his teammates. Ja is just a really special player to watch. And he's got a little Steph Curry at Davidson in him right now. Lottery pick, small school, Cinderella run. Next up for Ja and the Racers, Ja. Florida State and the four-seeded Seminoles, which I can absolutely see Murray State beating and moving on to the Sweet 16. I hope we get another weekend with Ja Morant. Yeah. Ja Morant, greater than Ja Rule. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. And on Twitter, DA on CBS. I think that the selection committee forgot who was coaching Villanova. Did you see the beatdown that the Wildcats put on yesterday as a 6-seed? Villanova shouldn't be a 6-seed. Take it on St. Mary's yesterday. You saw the differential. You saw the separation between Villanova and St. Mary's. Villanova is exquisitely coached. Villanova adjusts to the game plan or the opponent put in front of them. They didn't want to play the same way that St. Mary's does that slows it down, but they did, and they prevailed because they're a better basketball team. And having won the Big East regular season title and having won the Big East tournament, you know, you'd think being the defending champion and having won two titles in the last 3 years would garner a little bit more respect from the selection committee than a 6-seed. Villanova got underseeded. They really did. That's not your normal 6-seed, I'll tell you that much right now. I know they've had some departures. I realize guys have gone to the NBA, but Jay Wright has turned that program into a powerhouse, and doubt him at your own risk. What is amazing about Jay Wright is, once upon a time, he was known for early exits, early flameouts. Villanova were high seeds that would exit early, lose to lesser teams. And now we've gone from expecting Villanova to lose early to expecting Villanova to win through the tournament and be playing deep into the tournament. I have nothing but compliments, nothing but applause for the way that Jay Wright has always handled the criticism, the idea that he was a well-dressed, slick-haired, mediocre coach that was a regular season guy, not a postseason guy, with all of those early exits. And he has now developed into one of the best coaches, one of the three best coaches in the nation. It's a short list. And yesterday, what you knew was six seed, who cares? They will win games. Games, not game. They will win games. And they're doing it again. Next up for Villanova, they get Purdue. And I know that Purdue didn't have much trouble with Old Dominion, but Purdue is no giant. Purdue is no unbeatable squad. I fully expect Villanova to beat the Boilermakers. I think the committee just flat out forgot who was coaching Villanova and how good the DNA is of that Wildcat squad. It's a Target Demo Friday here, boys and girls, so hit us up with what you're doing, how you're listening, and where you're at. And we'll read through those coming up at the end of the show. It's a Target Demo Friday, so hit me up on Twitter, DA on CBS, and then on Facebook as well, facebook.com/TheDAShow. That's for a Target Demo Friday. But there's one other thing going on right now that you need to be interactive with, and that is the women's bracket. Last year, the DA Show held its first ever women's bracket competition. Why? Because we believe in equality. We believe in gender equality. We believe in shining a light on those that might not have as much attention. And we believe in humiliating ourselves. And so we wanted to find a bracket challenge where nobody knew anything. So it was either the women's bracket or like the CBI. And we said, all right, let's go women's bracket. That led us to death by salsa, where because I lost the women's bracket, I had to take a bite out of the hottest salsa allowed on the open market, death by salsa. That ended up being one of the top moments in the 12 days of Christmas last year. Well, we have now taken it to the next level. Myself, Merez, Pete the Body, Andrew Kaplan to WatchDA.com, and Huge Freeze being grandfathered in because Huge was part of this last year, are now competing in a women's bracket challenge, not only with Death by Salsa, we decided to spin it forward, One Spicy Moment Part 2, but also because it'll be around Easter when all of this wraps up. You've got to eat the Death by Salsa in an Easter bunny costume, bring in a basket of Easter treats to hand out to the sales department, and when you eat Death by Salsa in the Easter Bunny costume here on the show, instead of dipping tortillas, you've got to dip Peeps. Disgusting, mushy, artificial, disgustingly gross, sent from hell Peeps. Now, you can play along with us in our Women's Bracket Challenge simply by going to our bracket game, which we've tweeted out on all of our accounts, including the CBS Sports account, also put on Facebook. If you can't find it, tweet either me or Mraz. We'll give that to you. If you want to find it, it's at ESPN.com. Sorry, CBS, but you guys weren't running a Women's Bracket Challenge, so ESPN was. You can go to ESPN's Bracket Challenge and just search One Spicy Moment 2, and you'll find it. It's kind of like the sequel. The reboot. One Spicy Moment, too. Matt tweets in, here's my reaction to this year's Death by Salsa challenge, and it's a gif of Drake giving a standing applause, standing ovation. Trevor in Bomb City tweets, who consulted Satan for your idea on One Spicy Moment? Dixieland Dan says, whoever loses should wear that damn rabbit costume, and part of the punishment should be that they change their name to Ralphie for the entire day. Hashtag a Christmas story. Mraz, it shall be said, it shall be spoken. Last night, knowing the punishment that we all agreed upon behind the scenes, I studied more for the women's bracket last night, and I'm serious. I dug deep into women's college basketball writers, columnists, and media people to find out what was going on, who they predicted, who were the upsets, who were sneaky good teams, who were the star of the tournament. I know more about the women's tournament than I think I do about the men's tournament because I am terrified of having to eat that damn salsa again and do it with awful, grotesque peeps.
I did absolutely no research, and I could almost guarantee that I am not going to finish in last place.
How?
Because too many of you guys are going to overthink this. It's the women's bracket. Chalk it up, and you win.
Well, here's what's amazing. This is apparently the most wide-open women's bracket ever. Connecticut is a two. And so apparently, everybody, it's like an open season here. And that's what people are saying. I don't know, but that's what people are saying.
Huh.
That apparently every year there has been a women's team that has been chasing perfection. They have gone into the tournament undefeated. Apparently this year, nobody did that. At least every team, I think, has one or two losses.
Ah.
So apparently this is not just chalk this year, which makes it really interesting.
So Baylor's not a lock to win it all?
I don't think so. Now, again, I'm not going to consider myself an expert here. But from what I've gathered, Baylor is known as kind of choke artists.
Oh.
Yeah, that they have not, I think, won or gone deep since 2012. That might have been the Brittany Griner year.
Brittany Griner or Simone Biles?
Simone Biles was the female gymnast in the Olympics.
Oh. So it probably was Brittany Griner then.
Yeah.
I figured pedigree there.
Uh-huh.
Huh.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So you can see how this women's bracket's going to go. We are flying blind. Basically, we filled out brackets like the bats fly, just based on sonar. We're blind. We're just banging into things.
I'm a little worried now. I got to be fair.
Okay, so what's the worst part about this punishment? You've got death by salsa, eating it with peeps, wearing an Easter Bunny outfit for the entire day, or passing out Easter treats to the sales department.
To me, it's the peep angle because, you and Robbie both survived, in that a few minutes, hours, whatever, later. You might have had a little situation with the intestines later on, but ultimately you guys are fine. You're here on planet Earth.
Uh-huh.
The problem with a peep is that marshmallow stickiness, if it gets stuck in your intestines or something,
that's a bad
problem to have.
Oh, Bilotti, what's the worst part about this?
I still think it's the salsa, just in general. I mean, I think we can get by giving out treats to the salespeople in a costume, and the peeps I think will actually help.
Oh no!
The brutality that is the salsa, but the salsa is the worst part of the whole thing.
I'm telling you, I did the death by salsa last year, and everything that I feared about it, it was worse. It was actually worse than I could have ever feared. It was that hot and that it did that much destruction to me. But I hate peeps. I hate them with the fury of a thousand suns.
I do too. Get them out.
I hate peeps. You have no idea how much I hate peeps. You think I hate the Patriots? I hate peeps more than the Patriots.
Whoa.
Yes. I hate peeps. I find them to be devil's handiwork.
So you hate peeps and the Patriots owner loves peep shows. Who knew?
So the fact that I've got to eat death by salsa with peeps if I lose this, that's why I worked so damn hard. You can play along with us in our bracket challenge. Find the brackets. And by the way, the best score from you guys will win a DA show prize sent out personally by me. And you'll like the prize, I promise. When we come back, John Rothstein will join us, CBS Sports College Basketball Insider, after day one of the NCAA tournament in studio. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Little wet, little drippy, 24/7.
I have no real will towards Damon and Mandalore.
Joe, I love you.
Damon. All the love, Damon.
All the love.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
All the love here on the DA show. Glad you're with us for March Madness reaction, analysis, preview here on the DA. Our toll-free line brought to you by Geico. Everyone, there's a quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Need homeowners, renters, motorcycle insurance, too. Get it all. Geico.com. Joining us in studio, one of the best after day one of March Madness, going into day number two, our friend John Rothstein from CBS Sports, CBSSports.com, CBS Sports Television.
Not CBSSports.com.
CBS Sports.
Sports Illustrated.
CBS Sports.
Television.
Television. Sports Illustrated.
Yeah.
That's right. Sorry about that.
I don't mean to correct you on the air, but I just, you know.
That's an important correction, though.
Yeah.
Very important correction, because that's where you're getting paid. Yeah. So, you can watch John in studio with us at WatchDA.com, available on any device. That's WatchDA.com. This is your favorite time of year. You're a college hoops junkie.
I tell people happy holidays. They think I'm weird. I'm saying I'm more excited right now than I am after Black Friday.
Do you ever get annoyed that your world gets infringed upon the entire nation for a couple of days or a couple of weeks, and everybody acts like they know what they're talking about?
No, not at all. I look at this as one great big party, and there's no cover charge.
It's a good way to look at it.
Yeah. You know me. I'm a social guy. I said hi to you at Bar Coastal once when we bumped in randomly. We had a nice 18-minute conversation.
You actually bought me a beer.
I bought you a beer. Everything like, hey, dude, I gotta get to my table. But it was good. It was good to see you out and about, out in the wild.
It was good to have you. Good to hang out with you as well. Yesterday, no really huge upsets, unless you consider Murray State and John Morant's upset over Marquette a big one. It was a 5-12, but did you feel like it was a big upset?
No, just because of the way and the manner that it happened. And, you know, the dominant performance by John Morant, first triple-double in the field since 2012, since Draymond Green did it at Michigan State, was sensational. But you never really felt like Marquette was in the game in the second half. So because of the manner in which that happened, and John Morant looking like a young Russell Westbrook with the way that he was playing in terms of filling the box score and showing athleticism, I don't think it was an upset. I'm not just saying this because I picked the game. To win in the NCAA tournament and pull an upset, you need your best players to play well. And I felt, because of everything that's happening at LSU, Yale was a good team to roll the dice on.
I did too.
They lose by 5. Mie Ioni, who's a legitimate NBA draft prospect, goes 2 of 16. One of the field goals is a dunk with nobody on him. And they shoot 8 of 37 from 3, and they lose by 5. If he was just average and not bad, Yale wins the game going away. I thought James Jones did an excellent job rallying his team. But you lose by 5, and you're potential draft pick goes 2 of 16, and you go 8 of 37 from 3.
Yeah, that was the 3-14 matchup, and it looked pretty tasty to go with Yale there. And as you said, if the Bulldogs had hit 3 or 4 three-pointers,
they win the game.
They win the game maybe by 5 or 6 points. Their three-point shooting was so awful yesterday.
Well, Damon, think about this. Like, for all intents and purposes, they're 8 of 37 from 3. So if they just go 12 of 37 from 3, they probably win by 10.
Yeah. Yeah, so there weren't really huge upsets yesterday, but the craziest game had to be New Mexico State against Auburn.
Yeah.
And the fact that New Mexico State has a chance to tie with a layup breaking into the basket, nobody on him, and he kicks it out for a three-pointer. Auburn then fouls the three-point shooter, giving him 3 free throws. He misses 2 of the 3. How many ways can you bungle the end of a game between Auburn and New Mexico State?
No, and that's what makes the NCAA tournament the greatest show in sports. My heart breaks for the kid and the young man who missed the free throws, because you're never going to forget that. But survive in advance is the mantra in March, and Auburn gets to live another day. And I think the interesting dynamic in that region, the region of pace, which is the Midwest region, you know I name all the regions.
Love it.
Is this. Kansas is completely off the radar right now in the NCAA tournament. They didn't win the Big 12, but if Bill Self wins one more game, he's playing the Sweet 16 game in Kansas City.
Kansas City is a home game.
And potentially, if the seeds hold up, it will be against Roy Williams. How's that for a storyline?
How about that?
I see that CBS next Friday night at 9:40.
I'm telling you, everybody wanted to bury Kansas. They just had to win 2 games to get to Kansas City, and then suddenly they have a whole different season. Kind of the same thing with Iowa State, right? I mean, Hilton Magic, those Iowa State fans, they can travel. That's only 3 hours away from Ames, Iowa. If Iowa State gets to the second weekend, that could be a huge party for the Cyclones as well.
It could be a massive party for the Cyclones, absolutely. Kansas City would be red and yellow. A lot of Hulk Hogan fans.
John Rothstein joins us here on the show. Zion Williamson is the most interesting player in the tournament since when for you?
The most interesting player in my lifetime.
Really?
Yeah. Beyond Carmelo Anthony, beyond Anthony Davis, beyond
wow.
you know anybody I've ever seen in college basketball. I don't think we've ever seen a player in the sport that makes everything else that's going on obsolete. When you think about the NCAA tournament, you think about, obviously, having 4 screens up at once on the first couple of days. everything is going to be shifted on Zion, even if they're playing North Dakota State. And the interesting thing about this Duke team is there is not the dominant veteran presence that there was last year with Grayson Allen, or there was in 2015 when they had Quinn Cook, Emil Jefferson, and Matt Jones. This is really a freshman class that is undertaking more responsibility than any other freshman class that's played for Mike Krzyzewski has had.
Did we underplay Villanova? I don't know about you, but the fact that Villanova could win the Big East regular season, win the Big East championship, be defending national champions, and still get a six seed?
It's a product more of Villanova maximizing the conference being balanced across the board and not being as strong as it is at the top. You saw that yesterday. The Big East was 1-3 so far in this tournament. St. John's lost the other night. But Villanova right now, one team left in the field from the Big East. And obviously, you know, we're about 90 minutes away from just starting Friday. You can't tell I'm excited.
Yeah. Well, Seton Hall is one of those teams. They got beat by Wofford. And Wofford now, I mean, they have to be considered kind of dangerous. They go up against Kentucky. Kentucky's a different level.
It's a different level, but this is the ultimate David versus Goliath matchup. Now, people can say, well, you know, Wofford isn't, you know, David. They've won all these games in a row. When you're a team from the SoCon and you're in a situation where you have a chance to play Kentucky in the NCAA tournament, and the styles are so different. One team is big and physical and has all this NBA pedigree potentially at the next level, and then there's Wofford, who is just really mid-major players who are exceptionally well-coached and is an outstanding shooting team. You have what epitomizes the NCAA tournament. I'm looking forward to that game Saturday.
John Rothstein joins us in studio. How did you react to Tom Izzo getting in the face so aggressively of one of his freshman players?
You know, this is one thing, you know, I want to talk about, and I think it's something that's important. Like, he's constructively criticizing his player. Does he coach hard? Does he coach right now that probably isn't going to be advantageous with social media and instant opinions? Yes, but I'm sure at one point in your career to get to the level that you're at today, you had to face criticism and you had to be molded so that you were a better talk show host and a better broadcaster. That's all he's doing. And I think our society right now, because of the day and age that we're in 2019, is just afraid of confrontation. And I think that is really what it is in a nutshell. You know, I know personally, and I'm getting feedback every year from my bosses on all forums, that all he's trying to do is make Aaron Henry a better basketball player. And if he coaches hard, and maybe in a way that's a little bit more synonymous with the 70s, 80s, or 90s, well, then I just think it's, you know, more of a reflection and a snapshot of where we're at as a society in 2019.
I think it's a really interesting angle on this, because you're right. I think we are a society totally terrified of confrontation because everybody does stuff on social media. But I do wonder this. People that compare this to, if you did this at the office, you know, it's not the office. It's basketball.
Right.
So that's a silly
He's
comparison.
He's coaching his team. And the problem, and here's another thing too. You know, we talk obviously about the college player today versus the college player maybe 20 years ago or even 10 years ago. Because now things are so pronounced on social media, and a kid and a player has the right and the access to have their own Twitter page, to have their own Instagram page, they can pretty much come out and say, I'm a transfer, I'm a free agent, and make themselves, not to be LeBron James, but to try to forecast that type of situation. It's a much different dynamic right now for the college athlete to deal with than it was before all of this came to the forefront.
Totally right. So this is my question. Not whether Tom Izzo was right or wrong, but whether that's a dangerous game to play for Tom Izzo, coaching like it's the 90s when it's not the 90s.
Look, I've spent a lot of time around Tom Izzo in the last 10 to 15 years. I've spent time with him in East Lansing. He is not changing who he is. And he is going to be really comfortable with Michigan State's program, whether somebody wants to be a part of it, or doesn't want to be a part of it. Because right now, here are the facts. Michigan State doesn't have its secondary scorer in Josh Langford. Michigan State doesn't have its backup to its secondary scorer in Kyle Arnes. And Michigan State is one of 32 teams playing, and they're the Big Ten regular season and tournament champions. He knows what he's doing.
Let's assume Virginia wins today. They're not going to be a 116 seed upset 2 years in a row. But what happens if Virginia loses in the round of 32 or the Sweet 16?
You got to answer for it. I mean, it's the only way for Virginia to truly exercise the demon is to be playing in Minneapolis. And you look at their region, the region of grind.
That's right.
Because of Purdue and Cincinnati and Tennessee and Wisconsin, Oregon. It's tailor-made right now for Virginia to get to Minneapolis. I really think that, you know, when you look at the dynamics for the one seeds, I felt that Gonzaga had the hardest road But Syracuse not having Frank Howard and not having to see the 2-3 zone, I think makes it a little bit easier. Baylor played a great basketball game last night. But Virginia, unless it gets to Minneapolis, is going to feel like it left, obviously, some cake on the table.
You didn't think that UNC had the toughest road in the region of pace because their 2 is Kentucky, their 3 is Houston, their 4 is Kansas, potentially in Kansas City?
Well, here's one thing I think that we need to take in consideration. They can't play Houston and Kentucky. They can only play one of them.
Right.
So if you say, all right, North Carolina's in a situation where they're going to play Utah State or Washington in the round of 32. Washington hasn't beaten an at-large team in the field. The only team in the field they've beaten is Oregon, and that was on a miraculous comeback in Eugene. So if they get past that game, this North Carolina team, even if they're playing in Kansas City against Kansas and Auburn, you would think it's a favorite. And I'm not rooting it for anybody in this tournament, but I picked Auburn, and if North Carolina plays Auburn, the first to 170 might win. But you would think the Tar Heels win the game, but it would be a fun game.
Yep.
And then they've just got to beat, I think it will be an epic regional final, but you got to beat somebody to get to a Final Four. But that's the team that I picked to win a national championship.
Before we let you go, what are the other two regions that you've named?
I have on the left side of the bracket, because we're going right to left today.
That's right.
Because of what we're seeing in the East region with Duke, and obviously with Nikhil Alexander-Walker at Virginia Tech, and Reggie Perry of Mississippi State, and the LSU kids, and Bruno Fernando, it's the region of prospects. And then at the bottom, because of Ja Morant, because of Rui Hachimura, because of players like Lugansdort on Arizona State, and obviously what you're seeing at Michigan with Ignas Brazdeikis, it's the region of sizzle. You enjoy this every year.
It's my favorite part of it. It really is. It's my favorite part of it. I just love it. John Rothstein joins us, College Basketball Insider, CBS Sports, Sports Illustrated.
Yeah.
You see him on CBS Sports TV. CBS Sports Network, and he's all over Twitter for all of March Madness, so definitely follow him at John Rothstein. No H, J-O-N, John Rothstein. I could do this for a long time with you, bud. Thanks so much for joining us.
I'm out, that's it.
Unless you want to stick around for another segment.
What's the next segment? How long do we go?
We usually go to 54 in the next segment.
And how long of a break do I have? Because I had a water before I came in.
You have a five-minute break.
All right, can I borrow your pass?
Sure.
Oh, splendid.
All right. Yeah. More John Rothstein coming up here next. That's awesome.
The way sports talk was meant to be, on an imaginary spaceship.
From a side, EA. I can see it up in the air. The mothership's above east the coast of Florida. Beam me up, my man.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Catch every game, every shot, every second of March Madness today through Sunday on CBS. To the Turner Networks, with coverage beginning each day at noon Eastern, only on CBS. It's a Target Demo Friday, so hit us up on Twitter and on Facebook to let us know what you're doing as you listen to the show. Let me know how you're listening, what you're listening to, how you're listening, rather, where you're at, and what you're doing. I know what you're listening to, me. And we'll read through those coming up here in about an hour from now. That's on Twitter, DA on CBS, or on Facebook, facebook.com/TheDAShow. Also, we have our women's bracket challenge now available. You have about an hour and 20 minutes to get in. Then the brackets will lock, because at noon today, the women's tournament begins. Noon Eastern today, we have a bracket challenge. Myself, Miraz, Pete the Body Bilotti, Andrew Kaplan at WatchDA.com, Andrew Bogish and Huge Freeze all competing against one another. The winner gets nothing. The loser has to wear an Easter Bunny costume to the office, hand out Easter eggs and treats to the sales department in said Easter Bunny outfit, do the show in the Easter Bunny outfit, and eat Death by Salsa, just like last year. Except the hook is, you don't use tortilla chips this year. You use Peeps. You can play along with us by going to our women's bracket challenge. We've tweeted out that link a couple of times from all of our accounts, including the CBS account, and posted it on our Facebook page. That villainous laugh you hear behind me is John Rothstein,
villainous,
from CBS Sports and from Sports Illustrated, who's all over the NCAA tournament as always. Do you like Peeps?
Do I like Peeps, meaning what? People?
No. The candy Peeps. The marshmallowy, disgusting.
I don't really eat candy that much. Okay. I kind of just, only if like I'm in a real binge mode while I have candy. I don't have candy that much.
Peeps are disgusting. Don't ever eat them. And don't ever eat salsa with them.
Yeah. It's Peeps with salsa. That's interesting. What do you have? Pizza with like bacon and eggs too? I mean, DA, you're all over the place right now.
All right. So looking at yesterday's action, may I ask, did we overrate Belmont? I thought Belmont was going to beat Maryland yesterday. They were the first four team that got a win that I knew was going to get another win when it came to the round of 64, and they didn't. Did we underrate Maryland or overrate Belmont?
I think for all intents and purposes, the OVC has done an outstanding job in this NCAA tournament because here are the facts right now. Murray State dominated Marquette, Belmont beat Temple, and Belmont could have beaten Maryland. So it's a sign to me that I hope for all intents and purposes you are going to see more attention to mid-majors who have good seasons in their respective mid-major conferences to be considered for at-large bids for the NCAA tournament because of how well the OVC performed.
I hope so. In the state of Michigan, Tom Izzo has always been known as a guy that got the most out of what he had. He got more out of less. But I wonder if maybe that should go to Michigan's John Beilein now. Because yesterday, 2:15, once again, John Beilein's Wolverines don't even break a sweat. I could see them coming out of that side of the sub-region, and I wonder...
The region of sizzle.
The region of sizzle, that's exactly right.
Yeah, let's respect the regions.
Are they, is John Beilein a top three head coach in the nation?
I don't want to put labels on that because there's so many great coaches. Okay. I will say this. You could make the argument that John Beilein's the best head coach right now in terms of his longevity that has yet to win a national championship.
I think that's probably true.
You know, two national title games in 5 years, so on and so forth.
No problem whatsoever with Montana yesterday, and they'll take on Florida. Florida looked really good in their win over Nevada. Can I ask you what has happened to the Wolfpack? They came into the season with big expectations, all of those seniors, experience of the tournament, good run last year, and then totally flamed out.
Totally flamed out. I think one thing is this, for all intents and purposes, it is very difficult to go from being a program that is off the radar, that is up and coming, to a program that is viewed in its own league, like a Gonzaga or a Villanova or a Duke, where every single night, if you beat the team you're supposed to beat, you just get another win, and if you lose, there's a court storm. That is what happened for Nevada in 1 year, and expectations is completely different to deal with. I also think this team was not as good of an outside shooting team as last year's team. Really miss Kendall Stevens, but for all intents and purposes, Eric Musselman and company, you know, a great two-year run with those Twins and Jordan Caroline.
What'd you make of Louisville this year? I mean, Chris Mack has great respect across the country, but Louisville at times this year looked tremendous. At times this year they looked terrible, and then they lose to a 10 seed of Minnesota yesterday.
Louisville was not the same without their own moxie, and their own moxie dissipated after it lost to Duke at home in that incredible comeback. And prior to yesterday's game, which was part of the reason why I picked Minnesota, was this is an interesting fact. Over the last couple of weeks, the only ACC team that Louisville had beaten was Notre Dame twice. Notre Dame wasn't on the field. If you remember, that Duke team really, I think, hurt Louisville's confidence. They barely beat Clemson in the game after that, and they were not the same team the last 3 weeks of the season. And I just want to say this, too. I was really happy for Richard Pitino that he got that moment with an NCAA tournament win against the school where he and his father both worked and went to a Final Four, and his father is suing right now. Because it's a really difficult thing for any of us to really fathom, but what do you think it's been like being Richard Pitino? And Rick Pitino is your father, and you get into coaching, and everybody's saying that, you know, you're getting the opportunities that you're getting because of your father. And the truth is, he's done a really good job, and he had his greatest moment as a head coach against the school that parted ways with his father. So I was really happy to see that. There's a human side to me, D.A., you know that.
That's really nice to see, John Rothstein. You're not just a college basketball robot.
No, people think I'm a robot. I went on Pardon My Take Sunday night, and that was the first question they asked me. They said, are you a robot? I said, sources confirm I am not.
But you don't think any part of Richard Pitino's success and getting the jobs he's had is because of his last name?
No, it's part of life. I mean, it's just part of life. I mean, for all, you know, people being born into certain families that have a greater standing in a certain profession is something we all deal with. And I think probably from the ages of maybe 18 to 23 or 24, it bothers you, but you get older, you get a little more perspective. You start to think about what's really important in life. And, you know, it's not the end all be all. There's only one of us. There's only one of anybody.
I love John Rothstein because it feels like everything is very powerful. Everything is very profound. Everything has a lot of wisdom behind it. The thing with Patino is, I think you can resent or begrudge somebody for maybe getting an opportunity because of their last name or their family, but you can't begrudge them if they do well with it, if they succeed with it.
No, and look, he's gotten in the tournament twice in the last couple of years at Minnesota. It's not an easy job, and he's won a game, and he's got a familiar opponent in Michigan State that isn't fully healthy. That, you know, we talked about, they lost Langford, they lost Arnes, they were very vulnerable yesterday against Bradley, so, you know, I think he's got a chance here.
I want to get your honest opinion on UC Irvine, because everybody loves a bracket buster. They're the anteaters, for crying out loud. How can you not love a tournament with the anteaters in it? And they take on a four seed without Dean Wade for K-State. Can UC Irvine pull off this upset and be a Cinderella?
Absolutely. I think the Eaters are going to eat. Out of all the practices that I've went to the last 5 or 6 years, you know, one of the most impressive at the mid-major level was UC Irvine. Russell Turner does an absolute great job. This is potential breaking news. Can I just pick it up real quick?
Please.
And put me up, my mic?
Yeah, absolutely.
Coach,
okay.
How are you?
Well,
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
This is what's going on right now. I've got John Rothstein, CBS Sports College Basketball Insider, picking up a phone call in the middle of this interview with a coach that's calling in for potential breaking news. And so I have taken over the microphone. John is to my right now, taking the phone call. And when he gets done with the phone call, we'll get back to our conversation about yesterday's Thursday action, today's Friday action. Was that breaking news?
Nothing yet. And as we talked about, you know, just want to make sure I'm sure before I'm out. So
absolutely.
I think we'll have some news here in the next couple of hours on a couple of different things, but we're monitoring them admirably. And, you know, if they're not on Twitter, they will be on Tiki and Tierney, and obviously, of course, throughout the CBS family of networks.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
John Rothstein joining us here on the show. The Avery Johnson news did break last night that it appears that Alabama was looking for a buyout with Avery Johnson. He got 4 years there. Talk about not an easy job.
Yeah, and I've confirmed, I can add to that story, that all expectations are is that the buyout and everything officially is going to be concluded by end of business today.
I wonder, though, at a huge football school like that, I realize that LSU got a 3 seed this year. They've got NBA talent, so it can be done. Auburn, kind of the same thing this year. But is it unrealistic to believe that Alabama should be better than what Avery Johnson
had? And like, here's the thing, DA. This is something that really kind of, like, you know, gets under my skin, is that, you know, the dynamic for coaches has changed so much in the last 10 years. I remember, you know, I've been on the beat now 15 years. You know, this is my ninth year at CBS. You're in a situation where if you're a good person, you do things the right way, you get 4 years. And if, you know, you get the benefit of the doubt, you get a fifth. Now, 2, 3 years? I mean, Bryce Drew was fired this morning. Bryce Drew went to the NCAA tournament in his first year, didn't go last year. He brought in a lottery pick in Darius Garland, who I had a chance to go down to Nashville and watch this season, who would have been this year's Trae Young. He wouldn't have been Trae Young, but he would have been this year's Trae Young. He tears his ACL out for the season. They fire him. 3 years. He was in the NCAA tournament 2 years ago, almost beat Northwestern. You're Vanderbilt, and you have a lottery pick who tears up his knee. And this is the day and age we're in right now. People don't get the benefit of the doubt. I mean, if you are somebody who has a dream to be a college coach, you better prepare yourself for some serious, serious volatility.
Well, that's the problem. I mean, do schools like Vanderbilt and Alabama have unrealistic expectations of themselves?
Well, I think without question. I think without question, because here's another thing, too, and I was talking about this earlier before we got on the air. There's only so many coaches out there. Like, I mean, there's only so many coaches you're going to hire for so many spots. So right now, Vanderbilt, Alabama, Texas A&M all have openings. You have an opening at UCLA. You have an opening at Washington State. You have an opening at UNLV. There's been a lot of talk about Nebraska. There's only so many coaches that you're going to be able to hire. And then all of a sudden, we see things that happen where athletic directors don't have a plan. They just want to make change for the sake of change. Marvin Menzies, and I know UNLV is a lot like UCLA in terms of the expectations. Marvin Menzies at UNLV this year won 17 games. Shakur Justin, his best player, averaged about 15 and 10, probably won a first-team All-Mountain West player, didn't play. So if he plays, they're a 22-23-win team. I mean, athletic directors right now are just getting itchy to make changes, and it's literally change for the sake of change.
We talked about this story yesterday, John Calipari and the UCLA job. We've only got about a minute left here, but UCLA is not a better job than Kentucky, right?
It's not a better job than Kentucky, and these are the facts. And you want to attach my name to this quote, you go do it.
Yes.
I've said time and time again since UCLA made the decision to fire Steve Alford that UCLA would not be able to get a coach from a power conference to leave a good situation to go for their job. Now, you've heard a lot of different people associated with this job, from Rick Pitino to John Calipari to Mike Hopkins, who just signed, you know, an extension to stay at Washington. Nobody is going to leave a job in a power conference where you're making $2.5 million and up, flying on private planes, have a chance to go to the NCAA tournament, to go to UCLA, to go work in the fishbowl, when for all intents and purposes, you don't fly private to recruit, you don't always fly private when you're going to play league games, and you're in a league right now, and I know they got three teams in the NCAA tournament, but it's pushing the boulder up a hill. And the facts are the facts. By UCLA standards, people say, well, Steve Alford might have lost it. He went to three Sweet 16s at UCLA. And his predecessor, Ben Hallen, went to three Final Fours, and in 2013 won the Pac-12 regular season title and beat Arizona three times. And what happened in the semifinals of the 2013 Pac-12 tournament? Jordan Adams broke his foot. He didn't play in the NCAA tournament. They fire him.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.